Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website can be found at www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today we're going to look at our gospel portion for this week, which happens to be Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 24. Just so you know where I get that schedule when I do the gospel portion, it's torportions.org is where I get that reading schedule. For those of you who might be interested in that. And then after we look at that, I thought we could start one of the Pauline epistles. And so we're going to do the epistle to Timothy. And so it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. So we'll start with that today as well. And start working through that. On our gospel portion days. So that is what's on the agenda for this morning. And so let's open up our hearts and open up our minds and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and to show us things, things that maybe we haven't seen or are comprehended before. So let's begin with our Torah portion, with our gospel portion, Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 24. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw the other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went through all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were a lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. All right, so there's our gospel portion. And so he talks about how he dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, although I think I mispronounced it the first time, and I love it when the scriptures say that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet. And of course, it's referring to Isaiah, and I'll tell you the exact verse in Isaiah here. I've got it saved for us. It's referring to Isaiah chapter 9. The first two verses, I'll just read them. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And so Matthew's saying that Jesus going there and dwelling there is a fulfillment of that light shining in Zebulun and Naphtali. And verse 16, he says, the people which sat in darkness saw the great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death light is sprung up. And this is Jesus began to preach. And what did he begin to preach? Repent. 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 I know that's such a icky word in Christianity today, but that's the thing that Jesus first started to preach, was repent. But there was reason. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, Jesus dwelling among us, he's beginning this new thing that's going to spread through all the earth, which we are a part of yet today. And while the kingdom of heaven is not complete in that, you know, evil is rooted out, Christ is reigning, and heaven and earth have been remade or renewed, or a new heaven and earth, while that much has not happened, the kingdom of heaven has been at hand, and God has been calling out his own, those who would follow the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is preaching, repent, the good news of the kingdom of heaven is here. And then he calls his disciples, and it mentions Peter and Andrew and John and James, and they were all fishermen, and they immediately, they didn't need to stop and think about it or say, hey, you know what, I'll get back to you on that. They saw a rabbi calling them to follow him, and they dropped their nets, immediately left their fathers, and began to follow Jesus. And then Jesus went all about Galilee, it says, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then he was healing, fulfilling prophecy, healing all manner of sick and diseased people with diverse diseases, and those with devils, and those who were lunatic, and those who had the palsy, healed all of them. And that is our gospel portion for this morning. So let's switch gears here, and let's go take a look at the letter, the epistle of Paul to Timothy, and see what that might have to speak to us this morning. Let's begin. King James Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Real quick, I feel like that's a new thing, a new problem in Christianity today. And we even have a lot of cults and other sects of Christianity that has developed in the last few years. And they're all about heeding fables and endless genealogies. It's all about the bloodlines and all of that stuff. When Paul has clearly told us multiple times that stuff's irrelevant, and that it's just a waste of time, and that all it does is fester up questions. He says, which minister questions rather than godly edifying. Because it doesn't matter. He tells us in many occasions that there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, that we're all one in Messiah. And so at the end of the day, your skin color, your bloodline, your genealogy, all of that is irrelevant in the eyes of God. The only question need be answered is, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted on him as the atonement for your sin, as the, you know, the mediator between you and God? Have you believed upon his name and believed that God rose him from the dead? That's what matters, not all this other stuff, which seems to be so rampant, at least online, right? You have these online communities where this is the most important thing in the world to them. Moving forward, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, had turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law of God is good. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I wanted to pause. I really like that verse. This reminder to those of us who have trusted on the Savior, on the Messiah, that he is long suffering. To me, that just is comforting, knowing that he is long suffering and patient, and believing on him and trusting in him leads to everlasting life. Let me read that one more time. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have putting away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. All right. That is the end of our study in 1 Timothy. And, you know, that last verse is kind of strange, isn't it? Let's start with the last two. He says, holding faith in good conscience, which some have put away concerning the faith. In other words, they've stopped having that, right? And he says that they had made their faith basically shipwrecked. You know, they haven't held good conscience. And then he calls out the people by name, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's not the first time Paul says stuff like that. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, he says this, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. It's almost like, you know what, if you're not going to walk right into faith, you're just going to be delivered over to Satan. But not to, it doesn't seem like be delivered over to Satan and now you're going to be, you know, one of Satan's and you're going to lose your salvation and all this. Both times, it's like to learn a lesson. And remember that Satan means the adversary. You're going to be turned over to adversity, to trouble, that you might learn something here. He says, deliver such of one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the Lord Jesus, in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this one, in 1 Timothy, he says the purpose, he's delivered them, these people, over to Satan. Why? That they might learn not to blaspheme. Very interesting. And I don't have any great wisdom on that passage other than to bring it up and say, well, that's worth thinking about. That's worth taking a look at and giving some thought. And believe it or not, even some of the commentaries that I typically will check out kind of ignore it, which I find interesting. There is John Wesley's commentary says, thought absent, I have delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme, that by what they suffer they may be in some measure restrained, if they will not repent. So he's looking at it like, you know, this is, they're delivered to Satan to kind of restrain the bad activity that they're doing if they're not going to repent, meaning turn away from that activity. Interesting. Definitely something to study, this idea, to give some thought, but I don't have time to dig too deep in that this morning. But I'll leave that maybe for some of you who might have some time to do some thinking. Let me see. I do have a little bit of commentary from Matthew Henry. I guess I could check that out real quick, and I'll just read that on the fly with all of you. He says, as for those who had made shipwreck of the faith, he specifies two, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who had made a profession of Christian religion, but had quitted that profession, and Paul had delivered them to Satan, had declared them to belong to the kingdom of Satan. And as some think, had, by extraordinary power, delivered them to be terrified or tormented by Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme, not to contradict or revile the doctrine of Christ and the good ways of the Lord. Observe, the primary design of the highest censor in the primitive church was to prevent further sin and to reclaim the sinner. In this case, it was for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And he's referring to Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. And I read that to you, but he quotes it here. Those who love the service and work of Satan are justly delivered over to the power of Satan, whom I have delivered over to Satan. So he's actually quoting, no, he's quoting something different than what I quoted. So Paul also said this. No, I read it right. That's just Matthew Henry's take on it. So the scripture in question is, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Matthew Henry's thoughts on that is, those who love the service and work of Satan are justly delivered over to the power of Satan, whom I have delivered over to Satan. God can, if he please, work by contraries. Hymenaeus and Alexander were delivered to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme, when one would rather think they would learn of Satan to blaspheme the more. Those who have put away good conscience and made shipwreck of faith will not stick to anything, blasphemy not accepted. Therefore, let us hold faith and good conscience, if we would keep clear of blasphemy. For if once let go our hold on these, we do not know where we shall stop. So there's kind of Matthew Henry's commentary on that last verse to kind of end the in the teaching for the day. Well, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus you've been blessed, that you've been given some things to ponder and to think about, but more importantly, I pray that you've grown closer to Him, to the Most High God, and to His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the main goal. May you know Him and be forever changed. I want to thank all of you for supporting the podcast, praying for the podcast. You guys are truly a blessing to me and to my family. If you want to support this on a monthly basis, patreon.com/truthfed. That's where you go to do that. Or you can just go to scriptureandprophecy.com and all the links are there. That's all I have for you this morning, friends. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until the next time, God bless.